How about now? Whoa. Okay. All right. Everybody have a good week. Everybody watch the debate this week. That was exciting, huh? That's recordable. You want to watch that over and over again. Again, I'd hate just touching on it, but it's important. It's important for Christians to be involved in the government. You know, our input, our prayers are important in those things. And you know, and continue to dig. We talked Wednesday, and Chris talked about digging deep and really digging the platforms of both parties, and to really dig and see what they believe and see what their plans are. And you really need to do that, because you get nothing from the debates. I'm just being honest. There's not hardly a truth to be said in debates. And I think one of the important parts that we need to look at, this is before I get into the mess, this is all extra. There's no charge for this. You know, abortion is a big thing. You know, life is a big thing to God. And that's an important one to me in what they say. And you heard what was said, if you listened to it. You know, one said they're killing babies, you know, in the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th months. And other people, when saying, not happening. There's not a state in this United States that does that. There's not a law that says you can do that. Of course, the fact checker sitting asking the questions, you know, commented. You know, you have to fact check fact checkers, right? They're just a person that's got an opinion too. You got to fact check those. But, you know, in 9 states and the Washington, D.C., and I've searched different things, you know, and I didn't just go to one, I've searched different. Abortion is legal for the entirety of pregnancy until the moment of birth for any reason. In 1 state, elective abortion is legal through the 2nd trimester, which concludes at the end of the 27th week. In another 4 states, abortion is legal through the 24th week of pregnancy, regardless of whether the unborn child has already reached viability. And the states we're talking about that are the worst, or I'll say provinces too, because we've got Alaska, Colorado, Maryland, Michigan, Minnesota, New Mexico, New Jersey, Oregon, Vermont, and the District of Columbia. Those are the ones where a woman can actually procure an abortion through the 9th month of pregnancy until the moment of birth for any reason. And I know they speak up and say, well, this is just to allow doctors to save if there's complications, you know, if there's something where you got to pick and choose. And I don't doubt that's probably how it's used. But that's a whisker away from saving any time. No, it's for youth for Christ. There's a youth for Christ thing and a youth for life also that... And I don't know if you got it. I don't know if you saw it. I thought about playing it and then said, no, I can't even do that, because it was an audio in Minnesota of an abortion. And it's the baby gasping for breath, lying on the table, waiting to die. This makes you sick. Makes you sick. So it is true. It does exist. One of the people running that made those laws in that state of Minnesota. And I'm not saying it's not evil on both sides. All right, both allow it. You know, Roe v. Wade, you know, that was really hailed as being a champion. And it did help, but all it did was make it harder. There's still abortions all over. It's harder to do it. It didn't do away with them. There's still killing of children going on. So it's just a little harder. So dig deep, see who's at least trying. But moving on, your relationship with the government's one thing. What's your relationship with Jesus? How's your relationship with him today? You know, are you Are you fulfilled? You know, if you think of your relationship with Him, you know, as you, your relationship with other people and spouses and, you know, anybody, how do you feel in those relationships? With Jesus, are you fulfilled? Is it a fruitful relationship? Are the things happening? Do you see things happening? Is it bringing about good, positive things? Are you excited about it? You know, is it growing? You know, hopefully your relationship with Christ is growing every day as you come here, you go to Bible studies, you read your Bible, you pray, that it's growing every day. Is it active? You know, or do you have an active relationship with Him? You know, is He present in your life? Is He around? Or are you bored? Are you stagnant? Things aren't happening, just standing still, just going through the motions. Does He seem distant? Worse, are you falling away from that relationship? And even worse, are you losing interest in the relationship? Well, we're going to go about looking at some of the causes and what we can do about it. You know, especially if you're on the bad end of that. You know, last week I hope people got rid of some weights they were carrying around last week. Some burdens that were being carried. And on the list week, we got to replace it with something. You got all this space. You got to get rid of something. You're going to fill it back up with something again. So I want to fill it up with the right stuff. And we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I want to get into Ephesians. The main is Ephesians 5, 15 through 20 this morning. It's the main text. Pardon me, the allergies is terrible. Medicine or not. But Ephesians says, verse 5, 15 through 20. And pay attention to all the words in the Bible. You know, don't skim over. Pay attention to all the words. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. We just talked about that, how evil the days are right now. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's how you live. It's how you live your life. It's making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. They are indeed evil. Be wise. Don't be foolish. Understand the Lord's will. You know, don't be filled with unhealthy lifestyles, unhealthy emotions, unhealthy spirits. You know, keep your mind on above, as we talked about before. But instead, be filled with the Spirit. Don't fill yourself with these other things. Don't live as a part of the evil. Don't let it in. You know, empty yourselves of those things that are holding you back. You know, if it's holding you back, you don't need it. You're dragging it around. You don't need it. Get rid of it. Because you can't have the abundant Christian life God wants you to have without the filling of the Holy Spirit. You're not going to have it. You're going to miss out on what God wants to give you. And He wants to give it to you. Well, you might say, well, look, I'm already saved. I've already got the Holy Spirit. And you're exactly right. You do. You have the person of the Holy Spirit indwelled in you at the time of conversion. When you accepted, the Holy Spirit comes in and joins you. And we know that in Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. It says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. You know, and that's just one of the verses. We believe it can never be taken away. You know, a genuine belief receives a genuine seal of the Holy Spirit. You know, you say, well, they lost their salvation. Well, if they did, they never was. They never was. You know, you have eternal security in Christ if you legitimately accepted what he did for you. You know, it's a deposit guaranteeing inheritance and redemption by God. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It's a guarantee. It's a promise. It's a knowing that you have the Holy Spirit and what that does. But that doesn't mean, well, you say, you know, you've got the Holy Spirit and you really have all the power he has to offer you at that time. But we all need a filling. You say, well, why do I need filled if I already have him? Well, even the apostles needed some filling. You know, they after Pentecost, they prayed. You know, they prayed about it. And they were able to, because they couldn't do things in their own strength. You know, they needed abilities they didn't have in themselves. And so they prayed about it. And they were able to speak as God would have them speak. They were able to perform miracles. But they prayed for the Spirit to do things they couldn't do in their own strength. They prayed for the Holy Spirit power to fill them for what they needed to do. You know, you hear individuals going through that today. You know, the Holy Spirit give them the power to do something or give them the words to say something. I mean, even physically, I don't know, it's been a while, but I've even heard of people being able to lift cars off of people and stuff, even down to physical attributes, you know, that you get a power given to you. Some say it's adrenaline. I think it's the Holy Spirit. If you're praying, God, help me in this moment to do things that you normally cannot do. And things that he wants you to do. The Holy Spirit gives good things. He gives the good things because he wants you to do godly things. He wants you to help people. He gives you the power of God to do good things for him. You know, we need fueled up. It's a daily thing. You know, day by day, we need help to approach the day we're going to come through because we can fail pretty easy. We need fueled up for the day. And the apostles used prayer and faith to receive that power. Luke 11 through 13 says, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Again, we're children of God. You know, if you're saved, you're a child of God. But we need fueled by the Spirit. He says, you know, you just have to ask. You know, it says the Father gives good gifts to his children. Well, that includes the Holy Spirit in abundance. He'll fill you up with the Holy Spirit if you really want it. Solomon asked for wisdom. That pleased God. I can't imagine if we asked for more of the Holy Spirit that wouldn't please God. Because it makes us more like him. It makes us be able to give more like he does. It makes us able to do good deeds in his name. Live a life as an example for him. He empowers us to do those things through the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit's a bit under our control. You know, 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, do not quench the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. You know, we need filled because sometimes we quench the Spirit. We don't do the things we're designed to do. With the Spirit in us. We don't do the things God designed us to do, the calling he's given us. We fail to make the most of the opportunities to witness. We sit out and don't serve others in some way. We don't encourage others. We don't build others up when they need it. We don't help someone. You know, we don't give when we should. We quench the Spirit when we fail to do something that we're supposed to do. You know, it's basically the sin of omission. You know, we're not doing what God has for us to do. We quench the Spirit. We put our needs and our thoughts and our ways first. In other ways, Ephesians 4, 30 and 32. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, for whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. You know, we need a refilling because sometimes we grieve the Holy Spirit. You know, that's basically doing things we know not to do. We knowingly do things we aren't supposed to do. It's just flat out disobedience to God. You know, we take into things, well, you know, how are we doing that? Well, what are we watching? You know, what programs are we watching? What are we looking at? Or internet, TV, whatever. What are we listening to? What are we listening to on the radio? What are we listening to even people on TV that's given messages? What are we listening to? Are we listening to the truth? Or are we listening to the false things? You know, and what are we saying to one another? You know, we end up doing the exact things he teaches us in the Bible not to do. And our continued practice of them shows that we don't care what he thinks. We stay at it. That's just it. We know we know what we're supposed to do. We choose not to. Which, that's grieving the Holy Spirit. We don't care. I'm going to do it my way, no matter what. And he says to get rid of those things. Get rid of those feelings. Get rid of those traits that belong to the world. I'm not a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. These are more sins by commission. These are the things we do that we're not supposed to do. So we can quench the Spirit. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. But Galatians 5, 16 and 17 kind of spells it out. He says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. Does that clarify it? Can't just do whatever you want. I mean, that's black and white, as they say. You can do it, but this is you're in contradiction to the Holy Spirit. Is supposed to be controlling your life. You fail the Spirit life if you do. If you just do what you want. You should want to do what God would want you to do. You know, you fail to receive God's blessings. You fail to live this life to the fullest. And you fail to have the abundant life he wants to give you. You're saved. Believe that, because you have the Holy Spirit. You've accepted him, but you miss out on so much. We're going to have an invitation in just a couple minutes here. Close down. You know, there's all kinds of people go to church. You know, there's three basic types, I think. One group doesn't know the Lord. They don't have the Holy Spirit in them. They may consider themselves Christians, but they've never made a genuine confession, a genuine belief in Jesus Christ. You know, it's always something, well, I've always grown up that way, or, you know, I'm a good person, you know, I'm a Christian, you know, I've checked the box. But they've never actually had a relationship with Christ. One group are saved people who did make a genuine belief and accepted of Christ's gift of eternal life through his death and resurrection and blood on the cross, and they have the Holy Spirit in them. But they fail in that they haven't ever given control of their life to the Holy Spirit. You know, they still want to run their own life. They still want to do what they want to do. They haven't given control over to the Holy Spirit. And the last group of those who are not only saved, but have indeed given their control of their life over the Holy Spirit. They're obedient, and they're aware and active in the power that he gives. You can see it. And you say, which one are you? You need to look and decide, you know, which one do you want to be? You know, what's the evidence that shows what group you're in? Because evidence will be seen and shown. It'll be available. Which group are you in? You know, first of all, back in Ephesians, back to the original text, 5:18, says, be filled with the Spirit. You know, I think that's obviously a need, but it's obviously a command. Be filled with the Spirit. That's how you overcome a lot of things. Be filled with the Spirit. We need to be continually fed by the Word, but we need to be continually filled with the Spirit. We need to walk in the Spirit, as it says. We need to live a life in the Spirit. We need to live in the spiritual by the Holy Spirit. And we need to be filled with it. But is there room? You know, is there room? Did you get rid of enough stuff last week to replace it with the Spirit? Will you let him in? If not, if you're not letting the Spirit in, you're letting something else come in. And it may be those things you just got rid of. They tend to come back. It's like a boomerang. You can't get rid of them sometimes because you throw it, but you keep catching it again. So let them go, filling it with something else. Let it be the Spirit that fills that up, that void. How do we make room? We need to make room by yielding to the Spirit. We have to give ourselves up. You know, self doesn't get a lot of things done. Selfishness doesn't help a lot of people. We have to yield to the Spirit. We have to submit to God's authority, not just do whatever we want. We have to yield to God's authority, submit to him. And then by claiming Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and by obedience to God's word and his call for our life. You know, the evidence is on, if we go back again, the evidence is on our relationships. You know, the whole Bible, God's about relationships. Relationships with those around us. Relationships with God. And how we treat those. It's how we speak to others. It says the evidence of speaking to others were Spirit-filled words, Spirit-filled songs. It's praises and making music to God from the heart, speaking to God by the Spirit, and giving thanks to God in all things. If you're Spirit-led, you can do those things. If you're Spirit-filled, you can do those things. You know, we're full of the person of the Holy Spirit when we believe. And we have all of him. You got to ask yourself, does he have all of you? He's there. You got every bit of it, but does he have all of you? Have you given yourself up to him? You won't have an abundant life without doing it. Let's pray.